Well, the longest war in U.S. history shows no signs of ending. I'm talking about the war in Afghanistan, which started in 2001. In 2014, President Obama announced the end of U.S. combat operations there. But today, Marines are again patrolling Helmand Province to fight the resurgent Taliban. And last week, two U.S. Army Rangers died in a firefight with ISIS. Joining us now is Eli Lake, a columnist for Bloomberg View. And Eli, President Trump hasn't said yet what his Afghanistan strategy will be, but you write that the interventionist members of his national security team are winning the debate. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that at this point, the proposal or the strategy that he will be presented and he's going to have to sign off on or send back will call for a U.S. strategy where, first of all, there won't be an arbitrary deadline for the removal of U.S. troops. We're seeing already Marines in Helmand, and you're going to see an increase of combat operations that Obama had said were over in 2014. But it will also tie success of any U.S. mission in Afghanistan to the success of the government of Ashraf Ghani, who has tried to have an inclusive government from Kabul that would genuinely rule the country and to take back territory from the Taliban, which some estimates say they control up to 40% of the country. Other estimates say that it's a little bit less than that. So that is a pretty ambitious strategy at this point. It's very much reminiscent of the counterinsurgency push that President Obama approved in his first year in office in 2009 that I think he soon had buyer's remorse about almost as soon as he authorized it.
Do you expect more U.S. troops to go to Afghanistan? There are about 9,000 there now.
I would expect under the strategy, if Trump does in fact approve it, but the dilemma here, I think, for the president is that in many ways he campaigned against the idea of nation building. I mean, that is one of the central tenets of the notion of America first. And this is would be nation building by any other name. It would mean that we would invest more money in anti-corruption efforts in Kabul. The Afghan government is one of the most corrupt on the planet. It would mean that the U.S. would continue to subsidize the police and the armed forces of the country. There would be a pretty big ask, I think, as well for NATO allies to get back into the fight as well. So in many ways, it's a sort of renewed push in Afghanistan, an escalation in order to consolidate gains for the government of Ashraf Ghani, who is perceived, I think, by particularly H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, as a real American ally.
And the people who are making the case for more intervention in Afghanistan by the United States, what case are they making? Why is it so important for the U.S. to spend now 16 years plus in that country?
If you just were to completely leave the country now, or you were to have a scaled back counterterrorism plan and the trend line would continue, I mean, the Taliban would continue to gain more and more territory. And Afghanistan would in many ways be back to where it was before 9/11, when it was a safe haven for Al-Qaeda as that group plotted the horrific attacks of 2001. So nobody can have that. And if you look at, for example, the withdrawal of U.S. forces in 2011 from Iraq, it is perceived by H.R. McMaster and H.R. McMaster's mentor, David Petraeus, and others in that sort of side of the policy debate as a huge mistake to have gotten out of Iraq in 2011 without trying harder to get an amendment to the Status of Forces Agreement, because this was one of the factors that paved the way for the reemergence of the Islamic State. You know, in 2011, Al-Qaeda in Iraq had largely been defeated. That's the predecessor organization of the Islamic State. By 2014, the Islamic State had controlled Iraq's second largest city of Mosul and a big chunk of territory in Syria. So at this point, the argument is you may want to pull out early, and it may be easy to do, and it may look okay for a few months or a few years, but eventually you're going to have to come back in if you allow this kind of territory to become a safe haven again.
Isn't that a case, though, that could be made forever?
Yes, that's the downside of it, and I would say that there's a strong case to be made that it is throwing good money after bad. We may never be able to really put together a competent Western kind of military in Afghanistan as much as we'd like to. We try and we invest resources into it.
Who's making the argument within the Trump administration against intervention in Afghanistan?
Well, one voice that you've heard, I have not been able to fully confirm it, is Gary Cohn, who's the chief economic advisor. I think that Steve Bannon, even though he's not on the National Security Council, is really skeptical of these kinds of larger interventions. And there are others inside the military. There was a plan that called for a lighter footprint and more of a kind of counterterrorism approach with drone strikes. But ultimately, the McMaster view prevailed. And I think that that's something that's shared by James Mattis, the former four-star Marine Corps general, who's now the Secretary of Defense, and others on the military side.
That's Eli Lake, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.